Welcome to the Real Growth Podcast. I'm excited today. We have the Miller brothers with us, and we're going to learn about their story in business. We're going to learn about their construction company. Let's kick it off. Go ahead and introduce you guys and share about your company that you own.
I'm Gary Miller. I'm the president of Peak Remodel and Design. We're a full service, full design, full management, full build firm.
And I'm Brandon Miller. I'm vice president. I handle more of the exteriors, roofing, siding, windows, gutters, decks. We do it all.
And how many times in your life have you been asked, are you guys twins?
How many times a day?
Yeah, that's what it is. When we're away from here, it's like two or three times a day.
Is it really?
It's ridiculous.
No exaggeration.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like if we're on vacation somewhere else, two or three times a day.
Do you ever go with it? Be like, yes, we are.
We have not. We play the age game sometimes. That's what we do.
Yeah. We ask them, who do you think's older?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer.
Goes back and forth.
I would say Brandon's older.
See, it goes 50%. Gary's older.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. How far apart are you guys in age?
6 years.
6 years. What was it like growing up together and now being in business together? Has anything changed?
I would say it's changed quite a bit, honestly. When we were younger, we did not get along. So we hardly ever hung out. Now we get along great. I mean, there's feuds in the office, and when that happens, we've just learned to just walk away. Because nothing good comes from us yelling. Cooler heads prevail, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing we've learned is if we both don't agree, we don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no splitting us up. You know, there's no one trumps the other. It's, hey, either we're both on board or we're both out.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we have the most respect for each other, and I think that's why we work as well as we do.
And when did that start to shift? At what age or what moment? When would you say that started to shift in your journey of business and life?
That's a really good question. Go ahead.
I would say a few years after our first business.
Yeah.
You know, we realized that, okay, we're not winning by somebody having the more superiority or somebody taking charge. It's just somebody feels bad at the end of the day. Someone might win that battle, but nobody's winning the war. Mm-hmm. And we realized very quickly that if we would align and work together and put our heads together and agree, we would get a lot further.
Yeah. It's just that cooler heads prevail thing again, man. You can't win them all, right? So sometimes he wins, sometimes I lose. Together we win and lose. So,
and that's, I feel like, just a great place to kick it off of in your first business. And so you guys have been in business now together for how long? Where did it start?
We've actually been in business together for about 15 years. We've worked together in construction combined 40 years. I started when I was 16. He actually started when he was 16. Mm-hmm. When I started, I started in the summer of my 10th grade year in high school. And, you know, I wasn't really enjoying high school much. I didn't really see the academics doing much for me. And I always liked, even going way back to elementary school, when I was around 12 years old, my grandpa would come pick me up, you know, at 4:30, I'd get home from school. My grandpa would come pick me up in his old pickup truck. You know, we had the sides all hand built so we could load it up with scrap metal. And we go around the local scrap yards, like the auto body shops, and scrapping metal. He was retired, you know, he was a concrete wall builder. He did a lot of limestone walls in like Wabasha, Red Wing, on the river towns and stuff. And I really admired that he still worked even though he was retired. And I was excited to get that one-on-one time with grandpa, but I really liked providing a service by helping the businesses take care of, you know, getting their garbage out of the facility. And then, you know, I also felt good when grandpa gave me a couple bucks at the end of the day for helping him. So, you know, once I did that, I knew that that's what I liked doing. I enjoyed working with my hands. I enjoyed working in the elements. So, you know, fast forward back again to 10th grade, framing houses, roofing houses. I decided I was going to try the night school thing. I did that. My supervisor came to me and said, hey, you know, you're leaving too early. We have to figure something out or we might have to make a change. So, you know, I made the choice to quit school and jump full, you know, 2 feet in, like, hey, I'm doing construction. And wow. I did that for about 10 years. And then Brandon came on and he started doing his construction thing. I'll let you.
Yeah. No, for me, you know, I remember scrapping with grandpa a little bit, but those are Gary's special memories. I was a little too young. Grandpa died when I was 8. For me, it started with my parents. So I remember being in kindergarten, they bought their first rental property. They bought some apartments around Rochester. And I drew a picture of them in front of it. I mean, it's crazy that I remember that, but I do. So for me, you know, it was dad worked 60, 70 hours during the week. And then he had these rental properties. And we'd work on those, you know, during the day because he was a night shift worker. We'd work on those during the day sometimes and other times on the weekends. And, you know, we saw what hard work and reinvesting looked like through our parents, because he was actually able to retire at like 40. And my mom was able to leave the Mayo Clinic, and they just lived off their passive income from their real estate for many, many years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what got us into business. You know, we both started construction. I dropped out in 10th grade as well. It's crazy how similar our stories are. Like, seriously, the first person I roofed for, he roofed with when he was starting. But I dropped out. I started roofing houses. I went and got my GED, you know, and kind of went that route. I learned, you know, back then I felt like I wasn't really a good student. I was more of a worker. What we've come to learn is we just weren't learning the right things, not things that interest us. So now pursuing further education, you know, him and I are actually really good students when we put our mind to it. But anyways, fast forward, you asked about the first business. After a commercial roofing company that him and I worked for many years, we started our own roofing company.
Okay.
And, you know, every successful person has failures. And with that company, we could go out, we could sell roofs. Like, I knocked doors all the time to sell roofs. It was, and there was no storm, right? Like, now people knock for storm. I knocked doors to get people to pay for their roofs. Nobody had heard of us. You know, that's how we started the business. And then Gary would like subcontract work from other bigger contractors while I'm out doing this. And so we built our book of business. We had no problem selling roofs. What we didn't know how to do is how to run books and how to operate a business. And so ultimately, after 5 years, that business did fail. And Gary can kind of tell you what we did from there, where that led us.
And I think one important piece of that is like, these are the things, if you did stay all the way through high school, they wouldn't have taught you any ways of how to run the books and how to really operate a company. You were good at selling. That probably came somewhat naturally.
Kind of. So when we worked at commercial, doing commercial roofing, at night I knocked doors for the cable company and I sold cable and internet door to door.
Okay.
So that's where I learned my salesmanship from.
Got it.
Yep.
So you didn't necessarily know how to run the, I'll call it the internal pieces of a company, but that was at no one's fault but your own, because there, where was education? And at that point, was there YouTube that you could dive in and be like, how to run QuickBooks?
Right. There was not, you know, even QuickBooks was kind of relatively, it wasn't user friendly at the time. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty hard to use. Now it's super user friendly, but back then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't really even have any business mentors at that time. You know, we were just kind of a couple young guys that knew we wanted to do something and we didn't want to do it for other people. And we were going to figure it out our own way.
So when you decided that that company didn't have a life going on past 5 years, what were some just major moments that were like, this isn't working, we need to shift? How did you determine what to shift into from that company?
Well, you know, both of us were kind of 1 foot out the door towards that last year.
Yeah.
We were stressed out. We were really passionate about the business and the clients, but we didn't have a good team behind us to help us. And that was, you know, it was breaking us down. We didn't see any growth potential. And we're like, man, this is tearing us down. What do? We got to figure something out. So, you know, we slowly liquidated. And then I did some more subcontract work. And he went on to do a sales job.
Yep.
And when I got done doing the subcontract work and kind of closed out the business completely, then I actually interviewed for a job as a project manager up in the cities for a large residential remodeling firm up there. And that's where I took on the business side of things. That's where I saw remodeling done in a whole different way that they don't do locally here, or they didn't do locally here at that time. You know, the full self-service, full design, full management side of remodeling. And I was so impressed by my boss and the firm that I actually convinced Brandon to come work with us again.
Wow.
That's cool. I left a position in my 20s making six figures. And I had like the winters off. It was so easy. It was just more management. I left that job from my salary, company vehicle, phone and fuel, and a few other great benefits to go work commission only with the boss that he's talking about. Because
and your brother again.
And my brother again. Yep. Yeah.
It was, away from this guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I know. We were away for about 2 years. That's about it. But yeah, I mean, I went and interviewed with Mike, and I just saw so much more value in being around him because he had processes and procedures, and he was just so sharp that, you know, at the end he's like, well, yeah, I'll offer you a job, but I know, you know, Gary told him what I'm making, what I'm doing. He's like, I can't match that. I can't even guarantee you a salary, and I don't have a vehicle for you. And I told him, I said, hey, man, in 25 minutes, I can tell you're so sharp. I'll get so much more value out of you than this job that's paying me money, because you're a better businessman. There's a lot to learn here. Mm-hmm. And I told him that, and I was right. I mean, we learned a lot from him.
And I think that's so cool that you're learning, and like you said, you're really good students if you're being taught something that you're interested in.
Correct.
And it just goes to show, like, even in the trades or like wherever your passion might lie, that could be business, there's people out there willing to teach as long as you find them through your journey.
Yeah, I think you find the right person. It's the things you can't teach, right? Like showing up, keep, you know, try hard. When you find those people, even if they don't have any experience in what you're doing, mm-hmm. you find those loyal people, the people that show up, the people that keep trying. I mean, you can teach them everything else. Those are the things you can't teach them.
Right? So you guys then are learning from this business person that has processes, procedures, things are going great. At what point did you decide to get back into your own business again? And what kind of led you to that through your journey?
So we actually worked there for a little over 3 years. And what happened is, you know, he had a major family crisis go on. And he decided that it was time for him to move on from his business. And he ended up selling his business to some silent investors. And when we met the new owners, we just didn't align. They weren't going to run the business the same way it was being ran before. They looked at us as more of the paycheck than the actual business, because at that time we were the ones producing all the revenue for the company, and we just didn't feel like there was a good fit. It didn't feel like, again, like we had a future there. So we made another decision. We talked and we're like, okay, well, there's a lot of things we're doing here that we like, but there's some things that won't work in our marketplace, so we're going to have to strategize. And we decided to come back to Rochester and start Peak Remodeling Design. And that started with three people. We had a single suite, myself, my brother, and one other laborer that worked with me. My brother, again, was doing the retail sales side, and I was in the field working with one other guy. You know, we were able to pick up a few decent jobs. And then as we were working, he was continuing to sell jobs. And, you know, within a year, we were from our single suite of three people to a double suite in that same building with about six people. And we were able to start a decking department that year as well. And that's kind of been our strategy. Every year we look at what's working, what might not be working, and what our growth potential is for the upcoming year and how we're going to strategize that.
And you're taking from that experience of a company that was a well-oiled machine,
yep.
and then applying it to this new ambition of building Peak, right?
Correct.
Exactly. Yep.
How did the idea of Peak, the name, come to be?
Well, to be honest with you, what I did is I just did market research. I thought of, okay, what's another market that's similar to our market, and what's a successful name down there? And I went to Denver, Colorado, is where I went to. You can imagine with mountains, that's where Peak came from. I just felt like it marketed well. You know, one of the things we're not looking for anytime soon, but we knew we didn't want to involve our name in it. We wanted it to be a saleable name, but we wanted it to mean something. So we always talked about the pronoun of Peak in the beginning. It's your highest point, you know, your best, and that's what that stands for. And that's our vision. I mean, that's what Peak is about. We want to be the best. We don't just want to be the biggest. You know, we want to be the best.
And I think it's neat how you share that's the vision, but then also living through the experience of building a business, having to close a business, liquidate, starting again from the ground level, relatively speaking. This is where our paths crossed. Let's talk about this luxury office that you ended up starting in. Where was this really beautiful office? You know, you had views of the city and glass windows. And where was that?
I believe
first
there
office?
Wasn't even a window in that room. It was an interior office. I remember taking that jump from that office. Gary, I mean, he couldn't get out of there quick enough. And I'm sitting there like, dude, I don't know how we're going to afford $900 a month for this office with windows. And that it's crazy to think about, but I do. I'm sure he remembers. He's like, we should move into this office. It's $900 a month. I'm like, dude, how are we going to afford that? I don't want to do that.
You know? We can work from home. Yeah. We can work out of our truck. Yep. Why do we need an office?
Yep.
So this was the second level of Northgate Shopping Center where there's affordable office spaces. Yeah. But there are no windows. That's extra.
No. Right. Not in the first one, no.
No, the first one had no windows. No. Second one, we got windows.
You couldn't really see out of them, though.
They were up
privacy high. Glass and they were up high. So. But we still had some sun coming in, so, you know, there was hope. There was hope.
Yeah. And I think that just goes to show that you are starting, even though you recognize that you need an office, you probably felt the teamwork aspect of getting people around one another was such needed, but you weren't going to go spend this money on a fancy office because even at $900 a month, it feels like sunken costs. Why are we spending this money that's not gaining us business that could be spent on marketing? Yep. We're spending it essentially for four walls and a door.
Yep, essentially. Yeah,
but you and
some windows.
As you've grown from that office, what would be some of the things that you would give credit to that growth and just your own personal mindsets, whether it be people, just things that you really would give credit to that others can learn from of how to take that step from no office to a $900 a month office to the continued growth that you've had?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the credit for what we've done so far on the building side goes to our commercial realtor. I mean, he's the one who really taught us how to make a deal happen and get space. And I mean, we've moved from like three buildings already, and so we went from that $900 a month office to a 3,000 square foot building that cost us, $3,000 a month. So, you know, we're 3X in there. But he taught us like, hey, when you're done with this, when this isn't working for you, it'll pay you back.
And so let's talk about that because that's the world that I play in. And you're talking about Jay Christensen, who's the broker that's helped you.
Absolutely.
And not often you recognize how buildings and spaces can help your business grow when people look into growing. It looks like this huge number every single month. What did it unlock for you moving from a small office space to that next building?
So, I mean, the big thing for us is we always have huge dreams and huge visions. And like you had mentioned earlier, pre the show, your visions have to match your ambitions. And, you know, we can't grow if we're in a small little $900 a month office. Mm-hmm. We wanted more sales guys because we knew that we had a good business model and we could just replicate that business model. And we knew what we needed to do it. Well, we needed the space. We needed a space for equipment. We needed a space for a sales guy. We had to have a team, and we can't have a team working from home and being aligned and being on the same page. And like Brandon said, for us, Jay opened our eyes to see that, okay, we didn't think we could do it. You know, it's nothing that we thought we would ever do. We wanted something smaller, and he kind of pushed us to say, hey, I believe in you guys. I see what you're doing. I see how you're doing it. I know you can do it, you know, and when you grow out of it, then it'll make you money back. You can lease it to somebody else. You can help somebody else with an opportunity like they're helping you. And, you know, and that's exactly what we've done. We've grown. And then we've had to move. So then we were able to offer that building to somebody else. And now they are starting a fresh business in there, and they're on their journey and they're doing what they love and in their passions, which is exciting for us.
That's
and
really
that kind of gave us another idea of, okay, let's do another business. So now that, you know, now we're doing commercial investing and commercial buy in and hold and operate buildings as well.
But you have to grow evenly.
Not adding too many team members at once.
Exactly. That's something him and I agreed with right away was if we add another salesperson, we need to add in our truck trailer and two guys. And that's what we've replicated as we've built this. It's changed a little bit. You get to a breaking point where you have to add in another seat because it doesn't work at that level anymore. Him and I thought we had it all figured out in the beginning. We're like, we have the science. It's so simple too. And then we just started analyzing things, and like automation comes into play at some point in your business. I mean, that's, you need automation, which, I mean, you do that all the time. You know how that goes.
With the bookkeeping side, if that was one of your pain points in your first business, how has that changed in your next business, and how have you found ways to improve it and just make it easier for you to do?
We don't do it. That's the easiest way to do it. We read up on it a lot. He did a lot of studying. I think you took some QuickBooks
classes. Yeah, I took some QuickBooks classes. I mean, the big thing is you have to do it quite often. Mm-hmm. I mean, we job cost everything.
Oh, yeah.
And we create a lot of systems for everything. I mean, as you grow, you have more hands touching things. You have more people talking. And all these hands touching things, all these people talking have to be on the same page.
Yep.
So we have a software that we can internally talk to each other by messaging the board, and everybody can see it versus having to text and call and, you know, do all that. We have processes, you know, when with people, they have credit cards, but they have limits and they have requirements that they have to, you know, document every purchase a certain way by a certain time. You know, I go through at least twice a quarter and job cost any production jobs and just check budgets on them. And I look every quarter to see where our strengths and weaknesses were that quarter, why they were there. We build budgets. Those budgets constantly change based off of our goals. Yep. You know, we were just working. We were just collecting checks. We were just spending money. Now it's okay. We bring in the money. How much do we have to spend this month? And then what are we hoping that we can spend other things on? And what do we need for liquid to do that? Plus get into the next month and the following and the following. And then the other science is your progress payments, you know, making sure your cash flow is consistent, keeping your customers happy, doing the right amount of work to get those progress payments, but keeping those progress payments consistent, keeping that cash flow. Mm.
It's definitely many more moving parts than it had been in the past.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
But you found ways. One is the advancement of technology. And then it sounds like two is being able to get people into places where their strength lies, let's say doing the work, where you're able to measure the work and make sure that it's being done in a profitable manner. And that time you're dedicating, you probably did not dedicate in your first business at all.
Absolutely not.
No. Just get Field the work every done. Day. And yeah, when yep. the work's done, then yep. we hopefully are making money.
Yeah. Yep. It was, you know, I've heard a lot of builders do it. It was just what's in the checking account. That's how the first business ran. We're now, like you said, we have a software in-house and we job cost everything. We track everything. My wife, she works, you know, 40 hours a week doing straight accounting. So, I mean, we always have our finger on it. We're always watching, you know. I think that's really important is to not let that get away from you in business.
You know, one thing I've loved so far in this podcast is we have not talked at all but what type of services you guys even do. I love it. So
I figure this podcast is more for entrepreneurs. So we're kind of giving more of the business side than you pitching the business. So
it absolutely is. Yeah. Real growth is really those stories, and you're helping share what has led you to that real growth for yourself personally and in business. And I think that there's so many people out there in the world that can learn from people just like you that are living through it. And so that's why we're here. But let's share for those that are interested. What does Peak Remodeling do? What are some of the services you provide? What projects are you working on right now?
So on my end, I run all the interiors. The interiors piece is we do everything in the interiors. We do, you know, anything from small bathrooms to full basements, major reconfig multifamily homes, and in large additions. You know, we do anything from just designs to you can hire us as just to manage your jobs, or you can hire us as a full service contractor to design, manage, and produce your jobs. We have a full list of vendors that, you know, we've vetted that we feel are good quality products with good quality warranties, just like our installers and our subcontractor relationships.
Nice. Yep.
And on the exterior side, we do roofing, siding, windows, decks, sunrooms. And for us, it's you hire us. We take care of getting the work done and managing it. You know, on his end, there's a lot more selections, coordinating a bunch of subcontractors. On my end, it's more about... I would say what we do differently than some of the local is when we're on the job, if we're putting windows or we're putting siding on the house or roofing on the house or deck on the house, an actual employee of Peak Remodel is there every day, every single day. And we take care of any job site securement, you know, cleanup, anything like that. For me, that's what I found would set us apart from some of the competitors is we were going to have an employee there every day to make sure those things got done. And that's the big thing. And then also something Gary didn't mention is now we do a lifetime labor warranty. Because him and I, man, if we touch something, we feel like it's our responsibility anyway. So we were finally like, well, let's just put it on paper and be done with it. Because if someone calls and something's wrong, we're not going to ignore it. We're going there.
Your name's attached to it.
Yep.
And your name, as you know, is everything with the reputation that you're building.
Exactly. So we just said, well, might as well put it on paper and be done with it. You know, there's obviously your exceptions, like drywall cracking and concrete. Because what can you do? But most everything else is covered, so.
Well, like Brandon said earlier, we want to be the best. And that's not just a title you get. You know, that's a lot of work. We're definitely not there yet, but I think we're on a great path to being there. And we care. We care about our clients. We care about our team. We care about our product.
One thing that I appreciate about your recent marketing campaign is the humor that you're incorporating into it. So let's talk about ways that, you know, from your first business to your new business that you're now marketing to let people know about your brand, about your company that you weren't doing back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to get lost in the crowd. And I don't know if you've noticed, but you drive through Rochester, Minnesota, it's either Chris Lindahl or roofing. I mean, every billboard.
Right.
So we incorporated a UFO because we want people to go, wait, what did I just see? You know, because ultimately we're gonna provide a great service. But we just need to get them on the phone. Like, we just want to catch their eyes, see that peak exists, what it's doing. And then, you know, ultimately they'll go to our website. They'll be able to see our work. They'll go look at our Facebook page. They'll be able to see our work and we'll get the phone call. You know, so we just didn't want to get lost in the crowd. That was the big thing. We actually have a quite interesting commercial coming out in the next couple months that I think we'll be getting phone calls.
Can we get just a little sneak peek? We don't need to share the whole thing. Will it have a UFO?
It will have a UFO. It will not have a UFO. It'll be talking about Dex.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
with the UFO, like the idea generation of that. So first explain what the billboard is for those that haven't seen it. But then the idea generation, because that becomes a whole nother conversation and time you have to spend in trying to come up with how do I get customers to come to me and not just go knock on their doors. So what is the billboard and then how do you come up with strategies like that?
Yeah, so the billboard is that our roofs block alien abductions because aliens have been talked about a lot in the last couple of years. It's a ridiculous statement. That's why we did it. Obviously, we don't want to put something that isn't true and is a lie and can be proven a lie. Where with alien abductions, I mean, I want to know if someone gets abducted from a house we roofed. I'll pay that cost.
Oh, no.
I'll pay for the
with
roof.
With a disclaimer.
Yeah, but they have to prove it.
Because there needs to be the disclaimer.
They
got to
prove it. Yeah, they got to have evidence, all right? So,
it reminds me of, I just watched this documentary on the Pepsi commercial where they said they were going to give away a fighter jet.
You watched that? Yeah, that's a good one. Right?
That was really good. And it's like the guy went to bat to try to get his money or his fighter jet. I don't think ultimately he got it, but.
Yeah, no, ultimately he didn't. I can't believe Pepsi didn't do the math on that, to be honest with you.
Right.
That's the crazy thing to me. But it was a learning lesson for companies like that. I mean, I bet you that mistake's never made again.
Right. All right, so the idea generation that got to that. So are you sitting around? Are you dedicating time towards marketing? How is that different than what marketing was when you were knocking on doors back in the day?
Yeah, so now I meet with my marketing rep, and we sit down, and we go through ideas, man. We go back and forth. You know, we look at focused marketing. You know, what can we do to reach the few people around the job we're doing? You know, how can we meet the mass? How can we turn the heads? And that's what it comes down to is Nick is our marketing rep, man. He thinks outside of the box and he's just like, UFOs. I'm like, what? He's like, UFOs. Yeah, I'm like, I'm listening. Let's hear it. And he's like, I'll make something and I'll send it to you. And he sent it to me and I was like, yeah, that's perfect.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah, we got some other things we were trying to do, but local media shut us down on it. So those would have been more head turners, but I guess you would say it's kind of conservative around here, right? So
yeah, it's a balance.
It's a balance. I mean, it's a battle. You know, that's what marketing is about, though. Is like making the rubberneck, right? Make them turn their, you know, as they're driving. Wait, what did that say on the billboard?
Get
you
them
know,
talking about it.
Yeah, yeah, and catch their eye, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just see a roof in Rochester, I mean, that's everywhere. But who else has a UFO on their billboard, right? Nobody else.
One thing I'd like to dive into is as you've gone through this growth and you have got to where you're at today, and now your company's much larger than it's ever been. What are some of the struggles that you have in today's operations that you're working through, and how are you working through them to overcome them?
I mean, obviously the biggest one is people, you know, whether it be trusting people, getting people, keeping people, it's people, you know, but at the end of the day, good people don't work for horrible bosses. So that's a piece where we had to get real humble and say, okay, are we the problem or are the people the problem? And we realized, well, maybe we're the problem. And what can we do to you know, be part of the solution? And that's where we started asking our people, what do you want? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And you'd be surprised how their eyes just kind of glazed over, like, what? You're asking me? You know? And when we started doing that, we started to see the real loyalty in people. We started to realize that, oh, maybe you're doing the wrong thing, you know? And we're upset because you're not producing what you said you can produce, but you're not passionate about what you're even doing. So pivoting, you know, trying on different hats. We move hats around people all the time, trying to find good fits. And then I guess it's just being able, again, to pivot. What worked yesterday isn't going to work for tomorrow. You know, our goals today are going to be different tomorrow. So,
and I mean, the same rules that get you to, you know, 10 million aren't going to get you to 50 million in business. I mean, it all changes. I'm sure you're familiar with breaking points in business. You know, for us,
I'm not as familiar as.
Okay, so I mean, every dollar mark has a breaking point, right? And every breaking point's a little different, whether it's a who, a what, or who, what, or why. You know, give credit to that to Brandon Dawson. I don't know if you listen to him at all. Okay. So the breaking points are his way of teaching, you know, what you have to do in a business, kind of part of the science. And we hit a breaking point where it was the who, where it was the people. And once again, though, when it's people, is it the people or is it how you're handling the people? And for him and I, after we learned that, we came back, like he said, and we actually had him put it on paper, you know, like, hey, what is your personal, professional, financial goal for the next 1, 3, and 10 years? And what we found is a lot of people want to own peak and they can't all own it. Right. But no, honestly, we started to see like this person, you know, is only going to be here for a couple of years and that's fine. They want to open a gym. And then you have other people who like their passion is the construction piece. Certain people don't want to move from their position. They just want to stay right where they're at. They don't want to move, you know, and that's okay. We need everybody in every hat that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of going to work every day. You got to enjoy it, right? So yeah, once him and I realized that, we just you know, we're like, okay, we got to get the right people in the right places. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, you shake hands, you say, hey, you know, give me a call after hours. We're still friends. It is what it is, right? Because the same people in the same places aren't going to get you from one, you know, from 10 million to 50 million. That's the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I think that struggle of people is something that every business in today's market struggles with, for the fact that there's so many opportunities for people that it can be trying to make money on the internet that didn't exist many years ago.
That's a big one.
It can be working remotely that didn't exist very many years ago. So there's so many options. So like you said, diving into really what people's ambitions are and trying to figure out how you can help them reach their ambitions. Yep. They're then in turn going to give you the best version of themselves through that
work. Exactly. And that's what him and I figured out. Like if this, what we think happened, you know, anytime we lost somebody, it's because we weren't big enough. They saw they weren't going to reach their goals with us at that time. And so they decided to go pursue them on their own. I mean, that's what him and I kind of finally, the realization we reached, like you have to see what that person wants and are you going to be bigger and are you going to be able to give them that? Or do they need to go find it elsewhere? Mm-hmm. And I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you have to figure out. If they want something more and you're less, they're just, in the end, they're going to sabotage, they're going to leave. So it's not worth the time in my opinion at that point. Mm. But we have some really great people who want growth and want to grow with the company. And so that's the step we're on. We're doing something pretty big right now. We won't get into it much, but we're going to leave our mark on the industry at a national level. So
neat.
Yeah,
very neat.
It's fun.
And before we wrap up, I just want to talk about just in ways that you have personally grown, business aside, as you've gone through this journey of business, how have you found yourself becoming just, we'll call it a better person. And I ask that from a place of like, I've discovered it through my journey of it's business isn't easy, no matter what business you're in. And you find that you become more mature in your decision-making process around your family, around your friends. So like, what are ways that you've grown just personally through this journey as brothers? I mean, that's something you described a little bit in the beginning, but how additionally have you grown?
It's a great question. Friends wise, I would say, friends change at that point. You know, when you're in business, you have a different mindset. You have, you're not doing like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say here, but dumb crap, right? You're not doing that type of stuff anymore. You're really careful with how you're thinking outside of work because it could affect your work life. Right. I would say I'm more motivated in a lot of things too, after being a business owner and growing. In my personal life, I have more motivation to do things as well. I would say I'm more patient with my kids than if I was just in a sales position or something like that, because I deal with people all the time and not everybody's the same. And I think that's something you really learn from being in business that you take into your personal life, is how different people are and how you have to, I don't know, how you work with them, how you relay messages to them. You know, you really start to understand your relationship at home. I think that's a big one too. I think business helps with your marriage, even though it doesn't, but it does. It could strain it, but it also helps you, like, how do we work through this? Mm-hmm. To me, that's something I find when something's struggling in my marriage, I look at it, and I know she probably don't want to hear this, but I look at it like a business. Like, all right, if this was a business, what do I need to do to reach this next goal, or to, you know, that type of thing. And that's what I've learned from having a business, dealing with people. Yeah.
For me, it's been confidence. I mean, starting out, you don't think you can do certain things. You don't think you're going to have certain things. You don't think you're going to go certain places. And as you go, you're like, okay, well, I crossed that milestone. Now what's the next one? And what's the next one? You keep setting bigger and bigger goals. Motivation for my family, you know, to have a good quality of life, to have opportunities. You know, I'm fearful of the different generations. I'm sure my parents were fearful when I was this age, or when they were this age, but I'm fearful of the different generations for my kids. So being able to have that structure, and I mean, my biggest goal would be generational wealth for my family, so they don't have to worry about that stress, but at the same time, to work for it, to earn it. Communicating, you know, that's Brandon said that too. Communicating is huge. You know, as a boss, you think you're the boss, but you're really not the boss. You're a leader, you're a guider, you're a resource, you know? And the sooner you figure that out, that, hey, I'm not up here, I'm here with my team, it's going to be a lot easier. And that's when we figured that out, that was a lot easier for us. When we started hearing people talk, you know, actually hearing what they were saying, and then, you know, acting on what we were hearing, that helps. The first business, well, do this, point, you know? And I think a lot of bosses get into that role right away. Like, hey, I did this, I own this, it's mine, do what I tell you to do. But remember, you're not gonna have that without them. So if they leave, because yeah, it's yours, but what do you have at the end if it's just you there? Mm-hmm. So that was huge for me too.
And you relay that into your marriage.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't me. And if it is, she's gone and I have nothing, so.
Nope. I love it. Thank you guys so much for sharing about Real Growth and just being here on the podcast. If people wanna learn more about your business, where should they go online? Where can they find out how to get an estimate on a project they might be considering?
Yeah, they can go on www.peakrdsllc.com, or they can follow us on Facebook/peakrds.
All right.
Yeah, you see all our projects on our Facebook feed, Instagram feed. So,
or they can reach us by our 24-hour call center at 507-258-4244.
Congratulations on all your growth. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Buck.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.